start with groundfish, and I'll turn it over to Chairman Bellavance and Dr. Cornain. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since our last council meeting, the groundfish world has been pretty busy. We had a advisory panel meeting of the groundfish advisors and the recreational advisory panel on June 1st and 2nd. And the committee met right after that on June 14th. And the PDT has met both on May 18th and May 21st to support those meetings and other things. Regarding Amendment 23, GARFO sent a decision letter to our council here in April, and we're just waiting for the final rule. It's still pending. Framework 63, the proposed rule was also published for that, and final rule is pending for Framework 63. For today, we're going to do some work. We'll get a presentation from Dr. Cornain on Framework 65, and then we'll stop. I have a couple of motions from the committee on June 14th regarding Framework 65, and we'll discuss the performance metrics for Amendment 23. A few motions there, and then we'll have a discussion on continued work on Atlantic cod management. So that's pretty much all I have. You'll notice we have a new document in our presentation. It's a groundfish outlook by quarter. It's something we put together with some help from the Scallop team. So I'd like to thank the chairwoman of the Scallop committee and staff there to hopefully to help keep everybody on track. And without any other further ado, I'll pass it over to Dr. Cornain.
Thanks.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. So we plan to update this outlook every meeting of the council and our committees. And so you can see where we've been through the first half of this year and where we're expected to go on the council's priorities for the second half of the year. And we'll be focusing on those updates today as well. So the first part of the presentation is focused on draft framework adjustment 65. And we'll pause at the end of that section and take your questions and a few motions. The goal of today is to receive an update and then consider some recommendations from the committee, one of which is to add Georges Bank cod under the stocks with additional measures to promote rebuilding. The scope of the action is largely focused on specifications for the next 3 years. It also includes revisions to rebuilding plans for two stocks, Gulf of Maine cod and Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder, and additional measures to promote stock rebuilding for those same two stocks, and revisions to the ABC control rules in consultation with the SSC. In light of that, their objectives are to meet regulatory requirements to prevent overfishing, ensure rebuilding, and help achieve OI in the commercial and recreational groundfish fishery. Taking all of that scope and turning it into a range of objectives, here's our draft range. You also have that as a separate document in your packet. I won't read this off to you, but just to show that there's expected to be six sections in this action so far. Looking at our timeline, in red you see, if you can see, maybe on your screen, those are the important dates when the council meets and discusses this action. So here we are today, and you're receiving an update on the development of the alternatives. In September, you will receive the recommendations from the TMGC and review any progress on developing alternatives. And then you're expected to take final action in December on this action with the goal of implementation by May 1st of next fishing year. The PDT and the APs and the committee have been busy discussing this action already. One of the first things the PDT is going to look at is rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod, and we're waiting for the spring peer review of the management track assessment, which occurred this week, for Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder. Once we have that report, we can work on that rebuilding plan as well. But in the meantime, we have a tasking motion from the Groundfish Committee directing us to work on Gulf of Maine cod and considering various rebuilding probabilities in a 10-year time frame. And so this is one thing that the PDT will be picking up soon after this meeting as we develop some options for Gulf of Maine cod rebuilding. We also outlined in a previous meeting summary, that being the PDT, sort of the timeline of when things would take place and when we expect to work on them. We'll also be updating our risk policy matrix for all groundfish stocks this year. We're going to focus on the ones that have assessments this past year and update as we can through the later part of the year, including into the fall. We plan to review all the subcomponents. This was skipped last year. We think this is important since most stocks are included in this action. This is also a year where, because there is a full bank assessment of Georges Bank haddock, we have a review of the sub-ACL of haddock and the herring fishery occurring, so that's underway already. And a management uncertainty buffer examination that the PDT will also do. Moving forward to ABC control rules, we have a subgroup of the PDT working on this. It is populated by members of the PDT and the SSC. And we have already had a meeting to discuss a work plan. And we plan to present back to the full PDT sometime in August. And we will update the SSC and the Groundfish Committee along the way. We've initially focused on the current control rule and talked about some of the challenges with using the current control rule and how the SSC has implemented, interpreted, and used the control rule, and as well as the council. Moving on from that, our focus is to develop a potential control rules for the committee's consideration. And those members, if you're interested in the PDT and SSC, that's myself, Liz Sullivan, Paul Nitschke, John Wiedemann, Richard Merrick, and Harry Ishida. There's a lot of words on the screen here, but this is our work plan. And one of the reactions to this work plan from the subgroup was, can we focus in a little bit more on what the committee would like us to complete this year? Maybe the work on ABC control rules is something you could do in this action in the framework, but maybe there's more work later. So we discussed briefly all these different questions. And then at the end of that, and after presenting to the SSC and talking with the subgroup, I worked to develop three different approaches that we could take in this action. And I presented these to the committee at their meeting and asked, which approach would you like to consider in the action? So this is based on input from questions over the years, as well as from the SSC and the subgroup. But I want to say this is a council staff slide. It's not the PDT's. It's something that I'm reflecting on here. Approach number one is to refine the existing control rules. So for instance, the current control rule would remain, and clear decision rules would be developed on their how to apply the control rule. So for example, one thing that's come up is how and when to use a constant ABC based on projections from analytical assessments and the results of empirical approaches. Approach number two would be to modify the control rule. Maybe one or more could be modified or potentially dropped. And for example, option C could be refined or potentially replaced. And you could develop how to use FRebuild under option B. And the last approach was described as replacing the existing control rules. So completely new control rules would be developed. For example, one alternative could be a tiered control rule that considers the stock and its assessment. And furthermore, if the council wanted to pursue such a process, is the process we have now appropriate, or should there be a public process like the MSC process that was in place for herring? And if that was the case, then a much longer and more involved process would be beyond the scope and timing of Framework 65. So with that in mind, we had this discussion at the committee level, and the committee made a motion to task the PDT to focus on that number one, and that's refining the existing control rule, including developing guidelines on when to use the constant ABC. And it's not to say the committee wasn't interested in the other two approaches, but they felt like there was really additional time needed and conversations that would span beyond this year. And they want to pick this up as a discussion point as an additional priority for 2023. Back at your last meeting, you received an update from the PDT on this motion, and the committee had tasked us with looking at Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder catches and other fisheries, and we presented the council meeting at the time. The committee had also received that at the same time, and they asked us to, you asked us to discuss this more with the committee. And just briefly, utilization in the winter flounder fishery has been below the ACL in recent years, although the new ACL that's in place now, that catches closer to the ACL of 441. And when we look at the fisheries that are outside the groundfish fishery that are catching Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder, We use the 5% threshold, 5% of total catches, which ones exceed that when we're looking at an annual basis. So we've identified several of those. That includes scallop, fluke in 1 year, and squid. So we spent a lot of time at the last committee meeting talking about what do these numbers mean? What could they tell us about who's catching winter flounder? And there were some motions to try and dig into this some further. Briefly, this last bullet is probably the most important. When we did our preliminary analysis, the PDT felt like this just raised more questions than we could answer. So if we could receive some direction from the committee on how to work on this topic, it would be very helpful for us. It's one of those things where you can get going and keep going, but how much and how much effort should we spend on that? And the advisors also discussed this, and they felt like it was important to dig into the data more, and so they made two motions on this point. The first of which was to ask the committee to task the PDT with a reevaluation of how groundfish catch is assigned by fishery and other fisheries, focusing on southern New England mid-Atlantic winter flounder. And that reevaluation should look at all aspects of VTR assignments, observer data, extrapolation methods. They also asked that an alternative be developed for a sub-ACL and associated accountability measures that included increased monitoring the squid fishery. The advisors also discussed Gulf of Maine cod in this same section, and they wanted to talk about analyzing the effectiveness of the uncertainty buffer for the recreational fishery with respect to the objective of rebuilding, and providing an analysis of the conservation benefits from restricting all components of the fishery that receive a sub-ACL in the time area closures associated with the groundfish closures in the Gulf of Maine. So both of these discussions were under the section additional measures to promote stock rebuilding, with that emphasis being on southern New England mid-Atlantic winter flounder as well as Gulf of Maine cod. So after receiving the report on winter flounder and having the motions from the groundfish advisors in hand, the committee made this tasking motion to the PDT that they would like to further investigate the bycatch in what they're referring to as the squid fishery, which is how it's categorized in the monitoring report. And there were some specific tasks on trying to understand this bycatch, where it occurs, the magnitude of it, and to describe what's going on in the fishery in more detail. With respect to cod, the committee made a motion also to look at the management uncertainty buffer for recreational fishery, including consideration of how this uncertainty buffer could impact carryover determination for sectors. And with respect to winter flounder, a second motion that would task the PDT to work with ASMFC staff to summarize information on documented spawning locations for southern New England mid-Atlantic winter flounder and existing management measures within those areas. There's an additional measure, additional motion that you'll be discussing today to add a stock, Georges Bank cod, under additional measures to promote stock rebuilding. And so that's not described in this presentation, but I can refer to it when it does come up in just a few minutes. So with that, this is your update, and I can take any questions you may have as you work to consider two motions from the committee as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Any questions from the council at this point? Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation, Jamie. I had a quick question, and this was related to what came, the one of the motions that came out of the groundfish advisory panel, the one that for southern New England mid-Atlantic winter flounder, where they wanted to establish the sub-ACL and the accountability measure that would increase monitoring for the squid fishery. Excuse me. I believe in the summary report for that meeting, there were some questions whether the legality or the possibility that we can actually do that, the accountability measure component of increasing monitoring in another fishery. I was wondering if that was possible. I think there were some questions related to that.
I have not had a chance to dig into that more. What I did look back to was in framework 51, which was the first action I worked on as council staff, but there was a measure in there for the small mesh fisheries that would have required them to use PTNS. Ultimately, that was not selected or approved, but that was the most similar thing I could find. But again, it's a little different because you have the whiting by this council as well. I think it was described as being too complicated between the two fisheries because it would have impacted squid and whiting. And ultimately, it may have been removed to consider but rejected in that action. So if you look back to Framework 51, there is some description about the attempt to put that in place. And I don't know the current regulations for the squid fishery and what they're required to do. And there's been a lot of time that spanned since Framework 51. So we have not dug into, you know, what the monitoring requirements would be. Again, this was a advisory panel motion, and we don't presently have a motion from the committee to develop a sub-ACO.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, Jamie, for the presentation. In one of your slides describing Gulf of Maine cod rebuilding, you know, we're part of the work in the framework is to consider alternative measures to promote cod rebuilding, and one of the things that was mentioned on your slide was cod spawning protections, and I think that's consistent with the PDT's March 9th memo, which said, you know, rather than focusing on the percent of FMSY alone, we might be able to put more of a focus on spawning protections. And I know that to date the committee hasn't come up with specifics on that, but I was reflecting back on the cod stock structure working group and the results of that, and I was just curious if you know if there's any information or analyses available in the work of the cod stock structure working group that might be useful for us to think about additional measures for protecting cod spawning, whether that's area based or I don't know that. Remember all the details of the cod stock structure working group and thought there might be information there that could help us. Are you aware of anything in there specific to spawning on cod that could help in this framework?
So the chair of the working group is here today to present after I present later today, Dr. Lisa Kerr, and that's a good question to potentially park there. There is work that has taken place. In summary, there is, first of all, there is the, since the establishment of the spawning areas we have now, we have the Atlantic Cod Stock Structure Working Group's report. And there has been subsequent work since that, largely focused in Georges Bank area, which we refer now to as Southern New England. But I would defer to the working group chair on sort of the status of ongoing work and how it would be coming into the stock assessment process.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Back to you, Doctor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Mr. Bellavance has a series of committee motions to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Jamie, for your presentation. As Jamie mentioned, the committee did have two motions to bring forward to the council today for consideration. And I think, there's the first one from. So I'll move on behalf of the committee that the council write a letter to the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council informing them of our intention to consider a Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder sub-ACL for the small mesh fisheries and inquire if they would like to take lead on establishing an AM for those small mesh fisheries under their purview.
Thank you,
committee motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a committee motion. It does not need a second. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Neese.
If I might, Mr. Chair, I have a question and a little bit of a concern about the last part of that motion, where it asks if the Mid-Atlantic Council would like to take the lead on establishing the AM. I'm a little curious what that means. Is the council suggesting that they want to completely turn over the responsibility for development and implementation of the AM to the Mid-Atlantic Council? Or are they asking if the Mid-Atlantic Council wants to assist us in developing an AM for that fishery. You know, we have had at times, for example, when we have the scallop fishery and that has a sub-ACL, we do have the scallop plan development team and committee work on the AMs for the scallop fishery bycatch of crownfish, but that's all taking place and ultimately getting approved by the same council. I guess I'm a little, I'd like to make sure we understand that particular language and whether, what exactly is meant by take the lead on that.
Doctor or Chairman Belavance?
Certainly a question for the committee, I think, but and the committee members on the council. I will give you another example. When we work with the Mid-Atlantic Council, so we have a southern windowpane flounder, ACL, and there's an other fisheries component. And we worked recently in an action with Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council staff to revise that AM for that stock. And so they worked in consultation with us, but the groundfish plan was the lead. It wasn't like a separate accountability measure developed in the Fluke FMP, for example. So that would be one, a different approach where we would ask if they would like to consult with us on establishing the AM, and then the ACL and the AM could reside within the groundfish plan and be, in this case, the history has been a gear-specific, usually a gear-specific AM.
Chairman Belavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Tom, for the question. So I think this motion is a product of a pretty long conversation we had about a bunch of different fisheries and gear, potential gear modifications or ACLs in the groundfish plan, and we went back and forth quite a bit. So listening to your interpretation of this motion, I understand what you're saying, and I think it might be appropriate actually to change some of the wording to get away from the, have the Mid-Atlantic take the lead to more cooperate with us in an AM and just work jointly with us as opposed to taking a lead. So depending on what the rest of the committee members or the council feels here today, I think that might be a good idea.
Okay, so you're proposing that take the lead might be a fluke, I suppose. Ms. Etri.
Squid.
Hang on, Libby. We're going to get you unmuted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. My device disconnected over lunch. I just want to echo what Rick just said. When we had this discussion at the committee, we were trying to look back in time how we have developed AMs previously, and acknowledging such as like the small mesh fishery, what we know, what we don't know, with other stocks where there's sub ACLs, and working with them in Atlantic. So if it's more appropriate to replace take lead to with consult, I'm happy to make that motion to amend to kind of clarify, to be consistent with what we've done in the past, if that's helpful. If it needs a motion to amend.
Yeah,
so it'd be.
Thank you, Olivia. Well, this morning we had the seal pinger thing that we did just by consent. I don't know if we need a motion. So I'd like to go out to the committee of the council. Is there any opposition to just making a change as opposed to going through a motion to would like to assist on establishing or consult, whatever word you want to pick. I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Chairman, what word you want. But if that's no problem for anybody, let's just do it that way. Any opposition to that? Seeing none, are you good with assist, Mr. Belavance?
Consult, maybe. That's how we've done it in the past, right? We consulted with them. Is that all right?
That's fine with me.
Thanks.
Anybody have a problem with that? Okay, done. So, Any discussion on this motion from the council? Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to recall back to the conversation of the committee as well, and maybe Rick can help me on this, but I think that part of the rationale for the motion was that the Mid-Atlantic may be responsible for managing the fisheries that the are catching the sub-base, the small mesh fisheries. Am I recalling that part of it correctly? And that's why we considered having them either take the lead or consult with us, is their management role on the small mesh fisheries that are catching some of the sub-ACO.
Thanks, Jeff. Yep. So that's how I recall it as well. We were talking about squid fishery, fluke fishery, scup, things like that, and we don't manage any of those fish. So we thought it'd be appropriate to make them aware as soon as possible that we're considering a gear requirement that would affect some of the fisheries that they manage, and that it might be appropriate to have them consult with us on what type of an AM to put in place in the event that ACL is exceeded by fisheries that they manage.
Anyone else on the council? Discussion on the motion on the board? Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I was sort of struggling a little bit with the change from to consult. And I think my issue, I think this, as long as it's clear that this leaves open the door for us to end up with the most effective, efficient result. Because I think depending on what the AMs are, it may be more effective for those AMs to reside in the groundfish FMP and the groundfish regs. But there might be, we might end up with a set of AMs that where it makes more sense for those regs to sit in the squid FMP, for example, in the squid regs. Well, if it's the former, then then this council should have the lead, should write it, put it in the framework adjustment, and it gets implemented. But if we end up with wanting a solution that resides in the squid regs, the mid really needs to be the lead on that. So as long as we're comfortable that the intent behind here is we're inviting the Mid-Atlantic Council to work with us to come up with solutions. And then once we come up with those solutions, we can figure out the best place for those solutions to sit, whether it be the squid FMP or the groundfish FMP. As long as that's the intent, I'm comfortable with this. I just don't want to preclude a good option because of how we worded this motion.
Ms. Denise.
So the concern I have is that I got to go back and check a little bit, but I believe there was a case in the Gulf of Mexico with respect to AMs in the shrimp fishery and red snapper bycatch. Anyway, the concern is who is ultimately responsible for the efficacy of the AM, and I think that case held that it was the FMP that establishes the sub-ACL. But we would have to go back and check on that.
Okay, well, I think after your concern, Mr. Penny, I think it's reasonably clear that we want to move together. And I don't know if you want to insert a consult on establishing the most efficient AM. I mean, does that language change anything for you? Okay, why don't we just, I think the intent's pretty clear. But Ms. Etri?
I was just going to say from my thought processes, I share a similar thought that the RA does about the intent behind this, which is to, if an AM is going to be established, to determine the best AM and then what is the most appropriate vehicle to implement that AM. I don't believe the committee was even trying to preclude anybody from doing what was the most efficient for the most effective AM. We just want to make sure that we're providing notice to the MID and engaging with them early on in this discussion, especially since it relates to a fishery that they do manage and they do have expertise. That would be probably very critical to the discussion. So I'm just saying I agree with the RA about that's my intent when I read this. But if we need to perfect it, I'm okay with that too.
Okay, well, the Mid-Atlantic meets in August, and I'd like to see if Mr. Hughes is clear on the intent, so you can convey that to your people.
Yes, I'm communicating with him right now. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion that's on the board from the council? Seeing none, anyone from the public? Seeing none, back to the council. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm not going to read it in the record. It's pretty clear where we're going here. So at this point, is there any objection to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next motion and the second motion related to Framework 65, and move on behalf of the committee that the council include George's Bank Cod as a stock to pursue additional measures to promote rebuilding in Framework 65, or Framework Adjustment 65, specifically to consider mechanisms that could be adopted to minimize the impact of pound-for-pound payback applied to the commercial fishery if the recreational fishery exceeds its catch target.
It's a committee motion, does not need a second. Discussion from the council. Any discussion on the motion on the board? Go ahead, Rick. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we had another long discussion on this topic as well, and I guess just from my personal perspective, I'm struggling with the second part of this motion. Like, I'm not opposed at all to considering George's Bank as a stock to pursue additional measures to promote rebuilding, right? Because it's in tough shape, and want to definitely do our best there. But specifically to consider mechanisms that could be adopted to minimize the impacts of a pound-for-pound payback applied to the commercial fishery if the recreational fishery sees its catch target. I'm just trying to get my head around how that's an additional measure to promote rebuilding. We talked a lot about it actually at the committee, and I still am not clear or comfortable with it. I'm okay putting the stock in, but I don't want to restrict our ability to look at other things, or to, you know, kind of pigeonhole us into this one particular item. And I'm really not clear where this actually helps promote rebuilding anyway, and if that's part of our priorities for this framework. So interested to see what the rest of the council thinks, but I'll listen for the discussion first. I may move to amend this.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pentney.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I share a similar concern to Mr. Bellavance. I'm not understanding the link to measures or how something described here would promote rebuilding. I also am a little bit confused. I'm concerned because the Georges Bank Cod Rec fishery doesn't have an allocation. The council did consider at one point creating a sub-ACL for the Georges Cod Rec fishery, but didn't do so. Understanding that the potential implication was that if the rec fishery exceeded its allocation or its, you know, caught more than expected and the total ACL was exceeded, then the commercial fishery pays that back. So I'm not really sure how this would work, given that there is no allocation or sub ACL for the rec fishery, and we're only talking about a pound for pound payback if the total ACL is exceeded. So I'm probably gonna abstain on this because I need more clarification. But Mr. Bellavance said he may have a motion to amend. So I'll maybe reserve judgment to see what that looks like.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a few more comments and we'll see what happens. Mr. Smith and Ms. Eitri.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I was one of the committee members raising some questions about this, and the one that was that I was struggling to understand is the question of minimizing the impacts of the pound for pound payback, and trying to better understand minimizing the impact to Georges Bank Cod stock and cod rebuilding, or whether it's to minimize the impact to the commercial fishery that is responsible for the pound for pound payback, or some combination of the two. I believe it was more focused on minimizing the impacts to the commercial fishery. And if that's the case, it doesn't strike me that that's necessarily promoting cod rebuilding. It's minimizing adverse impacts to the fishery, but not necessarily promoting cod rebuilding, which is what the front part of the motion is speaking to. So that's why I struggled with this one as well at the committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Eitri, then Mr. Pierdnak.
Thank you. I raised this issue at the committee, and I raised it explicitly because of the delay in publishing the framework for this current fishing year. You know, for myself in particular, I voted not to remand Georges Bank Cod back to the SSC because I thought it was critically important that we had measures in place for May 1st to ensure that the entire fishery, recreational and commercial, was functioning under the current what will be the ACL for once the framework publishes. We were cautioned again and again that remanding to the SSC would delay action on the framework and would pretty much ensure that it wouldn't be in place for May 1st. But here we are, well into the fishing year, with the most recent guidance. I think the RA mentioned that we should see it soon. We heard on the manager call that sometime early July. And so we've had now a significant portion of the fishing year occurring under old management measures for the recreational fishery that aren't aligned with what is the projected catch target for this current fishing year. So that's the motivation behind this, because with all, you know, good intents, I think that we don't have this framework in place. We are dangerously running into a situation where we could have a pound for pound payback in the commercial fishery. And from everything I've ever been explained to you about ACLs and AMs and Magnus and Stevens, they're not meant to be punitive. They're meant to be a way to promote rebuilding. And so if the thought process is to have a fishery under management measures that aren't aligned with what we consider best available science because the framework hasn't published in time, triggering a pound for pound payback on the commercial fishery, that is functioning in essence because we know what the allocation will be, I just don't see how that reconciles with it being promoting rebuilding as much as it's just a punitive measure to impact one fishery over the other. So the motivation behind this motion is to acknowledge that we do run the risk of a pound for pound payback being applied by the commercial fishery if the recreational fishery exceeds its catch target, primarily because the framework hasn't published, so those revised management measures for the recreational fishery are not currently implemented. And there could be ways, if we think strategically, that we could promote rebuilding while not potentially shutting down the commercial fishery for 2023 or 2024, sorry, because of the way the counting happens, because of an overage, because the framework didn't publish in time. I'm trying to be creative, acknowledging the realities of the framework not publishing for May 1st. I'm trying to acknowledge the fact that an AM is not meant to be punitive. It's meant to promote rebuilding. So nothing should prevent us from looking at creative ways to account for the AM on the commercial fishery that doesn't necessarily result in a pound for pound payback. I'm just trying to think proactively. To not be in a situation where all of a sudden, come 2023, we're notified that, in fact, there is a pound-for-pound payback and that pound-for-pound payback is shutting the fishery down on Georges Bank, and then having the council unable to do anything because timing doesn't allow it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pierdnak. Then Ms. Ware.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Details that Mr. Bellavance provided of why we should eliminate the end of what's proposed here, I agree with, and I'm happy to see this Mr. Pentany so eloquently provided the details of the payback and how that was agreed to in the past by the commercial fisheries. So
I agree that we need to keep what's up front for the rebuilding, but the end does not achieve such. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Ware.
Thank you. I thought I'd just provide my recollection of what happened at the Groundfish Committee. I think there was a discussion about, given the late publishing of the framework, trying to have a proactive view if there is very high catch from the recreational fishery or higher than the catch target, as opposed to a reactive view, and that if we didn't consider something in this framework, the timeline may not work out in a future framework to consider how to deal with whatever the recreational catch may be. And there was a suggestion that this type of measure could be considered in the additional measures to promote stock rebuilding section of this framework. And so that's why this motion kind of started to look like what it looks like today. And I think the intent was to keep it fairly broad so that the committee in the future could consider measures to keep catch at levels that are promoting rebuilding. And in the absence of that framework being in place right now, we don't know what the recreational catch numbers are going to look like. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Belavance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to amend. It's pretty simple. I'm just going to cut off the rest of this motion after the number 65. So the new motion would be, the amended motion would be, the council include Georges Bank Cod as a stock to pursue additional measures to promote rebuilding in framework 65. And I think I'm going to leave it there. If I get a second, we'll move on.
Okay, it is not a committee motion. It needs a second. Ms. Ware, are you seconding this motion? No. Okay, is there anyone that's willing to second this motion? Mr. Pierdnock, you seconding the motion?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Belavance, do you want to provide any additional rationale?
Just that I think it's a good idea to include this stock as one to pursue additional measures for rebuilding. I think this leaves it open in that we can look at a variety of different tools to get at that, and it's in line with our priorities for this year and the purpose of the framework.
Any additional rationale, Mr. Pierdnock?
Yeah, thank you. I did a quick look at the MREP numbers for this area, and they are down significantly, so that's good to see. But I do agree, we need to implement the bag limits sooner rather than later, so that doesn't go upside down. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Etri?
Thank you. So I appreciate the motivation behind this, but at this time I can't support this motion to amend because I already see the committee struggling to articulate ideas about how to address the current stocks that we have listed for additional measures to promote rebuilding. And I feel as if this is just actually rather open-ended, and it just will create a whole host of additional workload on the PDT without clear guidance coming from the committee. I don't think we currently have a committee meeting scheduled. I could see this as the type of thing that further delays the framework, which, we're already dangerously delayed in the framework for this fishing year. I think it's critically important that we ensure this framework gets finalized and submitted to the agency and published in time for May 1st of 2023. So without having some further guidance from those that are supporting this on what kind of measures they would be pursuing and how they think that we can streamline this to stay on track and on schedule, I just think that it's too broadly focused, and it's just additional work that we won't be able to finish and ensure the framework published on time. And again, I just will highlight that without including something to minimize the potential for a pound-for-pound payback, when the council does discover if a pound-for-pound payback does happen, timing-wise, it will be very difficult for it to respond. And if the current numbers that we have for Georges Bank Cod continue on the path that they are, you could be looking at a commercial fishery closure, which is not what I think this council would want, nor do I think that that actually promotes rebuilding as much as it would be punitive because the framework didn't publish on time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith and Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Frankly, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with both of the motions. I think on the underlying motion, my concern with that was the language that said specifically to consider mechanisms to deal with the pound-for-pound payback. I feel like that's narrowing the focus of what could be done here and what could be considered, and that the motion to amend, it's not clear to me whether the maker and the seconder would view ways to deal with the pound-for-pound payback could be included in those additional measures. So I have no problem looking at the pound-for-pound payback as part of this framework adjustment. I just I felt like the original motion was too narrow, and I'm unclear whether the motion to amend could be read to include considering that and other things to promote cod rebuilding. So that's my struggle. I don't know if the maker or the seconder have an opinion on whether the pound-for-pound payback would be considered amongst the measures that would be included if the motion to amend succeeds.
Hang on one second, Rick. Dr. Cornyn, did you have a question?
Thank you. I was a little late. I was under the underlying motion, but is that okay if I comment now, or do you want to wait?
Yeah, I'll let it go. Let's
okay.
go.
So one, as you're thinking this through, one possible solution on motion number 5 is to strike, basically would read, specifically to consider mechanisms that could be applied to minimize impact to the commercial fishery, and strike the part about pound-for-pound payback. That's just something to consider. That might make it a little bit more broader for the PDT, but at the same time more focused on what we need to do. I have thought about this motion since the committee passed it, and I do have some ideas. Started talking with the PDT about it, but we wanted to see how things went today with the council. One idea is a catch performance criteria. This is how the windowpane flounder AMs work in southern New England and also in the northern stock area, where maybe you have an overage in year one, but in year two, you have an underage. And so you could make an argument that the operational issue that caused the overage had been corrected. And so in year three, when that accountability measure would go in place, you may have a reduced AM or no AM, potentially, depending on what happened in the second year of performance. The most recent example of this happening was the Fluke fishery had an AM other fisheries had an AM for southern windowpane flounder in for, I think it was one day, and then there was none. After the evaluation, it was removed. So we do have some precedent for this, even with stocks that, you know, have bycatch or have or in rebuilding plans like northern windowpane flounder. So we could discuss it, but perhaps striking the piece about the pound per pound payback would make it more broad and more receptive for the council to consider. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Attorney McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mentioned this in the committee meeting when the motion was raised, and I think it may be helpful to say it again, and it partially supports what Jamie was referring to, and that is that there are two purposes in the National Standard Guidelines that are identified for accountability measures. One purpose is to correct for the operational issue that caused the overage. And then the second purpose is to mitigate the biological effects of the overage. I also think it may be helpful to note another sentence in the National Standard Guidelines concerning stocks that are in rebuilding plans. And that sentence says that's for stocks in rebuilding plans. The accountability measure should include overage adjustments that reduce the ACLs in the next fishing year by the full amount of the overage, unless the best scientific information available shows that a reduced overage adjustment or no adjustment is needed to mitigate the effects of the overage.
Okay, thank you, Mitch. Mr. Belavance, do you want to address Mr. Smith's question as well?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So I left my motion here pretty open-ended because of the fact that we really just decided on June 14th that we were going to include this stock as one to consider additional measures for rebuilding, and hadn't really had the PDT weigh in on it yet, haven't had a committee discussion other than the fact that we want to put it in there, and I felt like leaving it open like this would allow us to contemplate the payback, contemplate any other measures that the PDT might be thinking of. We just heard of a few ideas already being circulated, so I feel like we're safe with this motion here to move forward in a timely way, and so that's my thoughts.
Jeff, you all set?
I'm all set. A way out of this might be to add the words after framework adjustment 65 in the amended motion to say including mechanisms to minimize the impact and then take what Jamie said, take out the pound for pound payback, but minimizing the impacts. And so you're addressing the issue that has been raised in the underlying motion. You're not making it focus solely on that. But, recognizing that there's a valid concern about the commercial fishery having to do the payback if the recreational fishery goes over. So that might be a way out of it.
Are you proposing that as a friendly amendment, Mr. Smith?
If the maker and the seconder would accept it, I would, including mechanisms to minimize the impacts, and then you take out pound-for-pound payback, applied to that, and finish with commercial fishery if the recreational fishery exceeds its catch target. That's the idea I'm thinking of. If it's friendly, great.
Yeah, could you be more specific so the our able staff can capture that?
Sure. I think Jamie spoke to the words that would, if removed, would give the PDT more room to work. So I believe the words from the underlying motion that she was suggesting that we remove would be that could be adopted. The words the impact of pound for pound payback applied to the. So it would be specifically to consider mechanisms that could be adopted to minimize the impact to the commercial fishery if the recreational fishery exceeds its catch target. I believe that's what Jamie said. I want to be consistent with Jamie's recommendation because she works on the PDT and she knows what they're contemplating. And it could all be moot if the maker and the seconder don't think it's friendly.
So it's minimize the impact to the commercial fishery?
Correct. It's a recreational.
Hang on, we're working on it now. Okay.
That would be my friendly amendment.
Okay, so I'll go to the maker of the motion, Mr. Belavance. Would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Thanks, Jeff. And I am totally fine with that. Thanks, Joan, for getting that together. I think that's certainly in line with what I'm thinking. I don't have anything other any other specific ideas to add to it, but including this one as one, since we've heard a lot of discussion around the table here today that it's important, is fine to recognize it, but not specifically that one type of measure. Okay, thank you. I'm
good. Mr. Pierdnock, are you good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we have a an amended amendment, but anyway, we have two motions on the board. I'm going to continue the discussion. I have Ms. Griffin, then Mr. Salerno, and then Ms. Eitri.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Eitri, in this recent discussion, just kind of teed up the debate I was having in my head about whether these two motions, before Jeff's perfection there, were really that substantively different, and still I don't see them too different. You know, as Ms. Eitri noted, the committee generally had been struggling with developing ideas to promote rebuilding for many of the target stocks, and it was asked at the committee what else could the PDT offer aside from a sub-ACL, and staff had remarked about an alternative commercial AM. Dr. Carnane just talked about some few additional ideas that she had. So I think at the end of the day, I'm hearing we're all saying the same thing, that we just want to be expansive in our consideration, don't preclude things at this point. So I'm fine with this amended amendment. And I think we're headed in the same direction.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Salerno, then Ms. Eitri, then Dr. Sisselwine.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point, but I think 5 and the new, actually, the new 5A strikes a balance between the original 5 and the original 5A, so I'm much more supportive of the amended motion because it does at least highlight the concerns that the commercial fishery could potentially be facing in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Eitri.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to Jamie for offering that revised language, and thank you for Jeff for suggesting it as friendly. I think that coupled with the preliminary discussions between what Jamie's been thinking about and the PDT has had, that's exactly where I know I was trying to go in making this motion, and I think others on the committee, some have already articulated where they were trying to go. With doing this is just trying to be proactive and think through creatively ways that we can still honor what we have to honor, but try to minimize any impact because the framework's not publishing on time. So with that, I can support the motion to amend and just want to say thank you to Jamie for sharing the initial thoughts that they've started to have and for the recommendation as well. Thanks.
Dr. Sisselwine.
I guess I'm happy with everybody saying they're in agreement, but I have to be honest, when I read these carefully, if I understand that the impact of concern is the pound payback, I don't know what's different between the two. So I'm equally happy with either one because I think they say the same thing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to go out to the public. Is there any comment from the public on the motion to amend? Jackie O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. I think the most critical aspect here is the impacts to the commercial fishery and the process issue that's at hand, which includes the framework not being implemented on time and the impacts of the commercial fishery with AMs and the pound for pound payback. So if folks feel on the council that, you know, by applying the, you know, applying this issue or solving this issue specifically is to include it in the framework as additional measures to promote rebuilding in the motion that is to amend, then we support that. But there's been a lot of discussions about what to do in light of this framework and the ongoing cod research track and cod stock structure and concerns about, you know, what may be considered in Gulf of Maine cod, that, you know, what is Gulf of Maine cod and where is Gulf of Maine cod. I wouldn't want to get bogged down in thinking broadly about additional measures to promote rebuilding for Georges Bank cod. I think we need to really, as long as this motion is intended to focus on solving the problem of the pound for pound payback to the commercial fishery, that could potentially happen, hopefully it won't even be an issue, then we support this. Or the council could take a different route and could change council priorities to address this issue, which Tom Meese would love. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Odell. Anyone else from the public?